All right. So, we are going to continue as long as the Lord wants me to continue this, because I will be honest with you, every time I think, all right, Lord, there's not much more we can change, God goes, oh, really? And then I have to go and dig and study and listen and get beat up, change, all that for you. Awesome people. I try. So one of the things the Lord brought to me now has to deal with our sources. So today's title is called Changing Sources. And I don't think it means what you think it means. Maybe you do. Maybe not. I don't know. But we're going to find out together. Amen? Sure. So if you want to turn your Bible ahead, you can turn. There's a lot of jumping around. But Jeremiah 2 is where we're going to start. Yep, you can sing it if you want. Yeah. I'm going to fast forward. I'm going to go to my second one. I'll use the wall for the first one. But while we're turning, Jeremiah 2, verse 21. Everybody understands cause and effect. It's almost like a law, right? If you do something, there's going to be an outcome on the other end. If you do nothing, nothing happens. But if you do something, there's going to be another action on the other side, right? It's a principle. Whether you're a believer or non-believer, this exists. True? Right? Okay? The product of effects is based on the cause that comes from an origin or a source, right? Cause does not just happen. There's something dwelling behind the cause. There's always something dwelling behind a cause. Regardless of what the cause might be, there's something behind the cause. We call that the source. And we as believers simplify this whole idea of cause and effect, source-based cause, effect-based result. Do you know what we call it, sir? You know what this whole process is called? Sowing and reaping. You didn't think today was going to be in? Object lesson. Yes, bananas. It's bananas. Also known as a what? Ah, you guys do pay attention. Would anybody like a banana? This is your one chance. You get one. I said, would anybody like a banana? I have a bunch here. I do have a bunch. I actually have a bunch of bananas. Fruit is the product of effects based by the causes of Christ. Christ is the source. Fruit is the product. The cause and effect is the in-between. Right? We talked about processes. We talked about all those different aspects of things that needed to change. And what the Lord reminded me is in the mix of all this, I'm getting all these stupid stickers off of my fruit. Because bananas are good, by the way. You know what bananas are good for? So who said potassium? How many people say potassium? How many people would like to find out you're wrong? Do you know what bananas are the best source of? Vitamin C. More than your orange. How about that? You can check me. Fact check me. Bananas. There you go. Your fruit for today. If our source truly has changed, right? How many people accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior? Hands up. Everybody in the house? Good. Praise God. Woo! That's good news. That is excellent news. So all your sources have changed, right? Because now who's the source? Jesus is the source, right? You better lay hold of that harsh. That's going to hurt in a little bit. Okay. Remember, you said it. I didn't. That's all I'm going to let you know now. If that's the case, then everybody has a bunch of this, right? Right? Everybody has a bunch of fruit. Jesus is the source. Then the product is fruit. Maybe your fruit's a banana. Maybe your fruit's an apple. Maybe it's a strawberry. Maybe it's a snozberry. Could be an olive. By the way, yes, olives are fruits, in case you are not aware. Maybe a fig. Who wants to be a fig? Jeremiah 2:21. Yet I had planted you a noble vine, a seed of highest quality. How then have you turned before me into the degenerate plant of an alien vine? Those are pretty harsh words to start a sermon off with, don't you think? Yes, Lord, I hear you. Thank you. Thank you for this. What can we learn from this base scripture right here? I will give you these. These are the heads ups, so you've been warned. God's intentions towards us were always noble. Right? That's what that tells me. That's what that first part tells me. He believed in what he created. I will tell you this. God does not create trash. Right? God created you, therefore you are not. You are of the highest quality. You came from noble seed. But what happened on the process? See, what happened was, God, I can explain. We were created in his image. We were created through him, by him, via him, the source. You are a good creation. You are not just good, you are what? Very good. Very good. That's good scripture talk there. Yet somehow, we became what? A degenerate plant from an alien vine. Whoops. That don't sound so good, does it? No. Good. How does one determine that the plant is degenerate and from an alien vine? Excuse me? Ooh, the fruit. Not just the fruit, but that is true. But it's visual, right? It's something that is absolutely tangibly observed, right? If you see two plants next to each other and one is degenerate, how can you tell it's degenerate? It's wilted, it's all funky looking, maybe has some pest on it, not producing the correct fruit, right? What caused the change here? Was the seed bad? Was the creation of the plant bad? What caused the change? Ooh. The environment. The soil. Right? Where it was planted at, what it was drawing its nutrition from, the source that it was getting all of its stuff from, eventually damaged the original intent of the plant and turned it into a degenerate plant, right? Genesis 2, 16 through 17 kind of gives us a little bit more of this. You guys might know your Bible history, so you don't need to turn if you don't have to. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in that day you eat of it, you shall surely die. That doesn't sound good. What did they do? Man, good start, God. Created us in his image and all. Said, you can eat anything you want out of the garden. Just not that tree. Well, that seems like a cruel thing for God to do. Why would he do that? The fruit from the tree of knowledge was not for us because What happened? What did the tree, what did the fruit from the tree do? Does anybody remember? Their eyes become open. Why? Why is this so damning to mankind? We can all go back and go, okay, well, the original sin was what? Disobedience, right? God said not to do this one thing. They did anyway. The original sin was just direct disobedience to God's command, right? Which pretty much everything boils down to, you're just disobeying God. That's all it is. In some form or fashion, we're just disobedient. But why was this fruit so damning to man? Was knowledge bad? Not inherently. But what happened is it became knowledge of not just the things of God, but the knowledge of all things. So what had now happened is now all things became permissible. One of the major core reasons why Christians struggle in sin is because we find ways to permit sin in our life. We make excuses for why we allow ourselves to permit to do things that we know are disagreeable to God. Do we not do this? I'm not going to even ask for hands up because I already know all y'all are going to put your hands up anyway. I just don't want y'all to obviously have to come and, you know, talk to me later. I won't hold you hostage. So what happened at this very moment is we now became the ones who can deem what is good. Who is the only source of good? God. But now we became the determination of what is good. God was no longer the trusted source. We became the trusted source. So now because a laundry list of things became permissible, we became this lovely people going, let me see. Well, that could be good. Ooh, I don't know. Maybe, I don't know. Maybe, I don't know. And we do this song and dance with everything. Everything. So, we go back to Jeremiah and we see that the original source was good, right? The seed was noble. We know that we were created for good. There's no question, but now we have this knowledge of other things. So what we do is we put ourselves into a source of something that we think is going to give us something good. And we should know it's not, but because everything is now permissible, we find reasons to attach ourselves to sources of things that are not good. And then what happens? We get this. How many people don't like bananas? Why do you keep putting yourself in the soil that produces bananas? How many people don't like olives? Why do you keep putting yourself into the soil that produces olives? But wait a minute, wait a minute, wait a minute. I thought the seed is what determined it. Challenge. Does the seed determine what is produced? Or does the soil determine what is produced? Trick question. You could plant a seed in bad soil. Guess what you'll never get? Fruit. Don't matter what you planted in now, does it? But I'm an olive tree! Yeah, but you're in garbage soil. Good luck. You'll never produce a single olive. Well, I really like the Granny Smith apples. Okay, do you know where you need to plant a Granny Smith apple seed in order to grow Granny Smith apples? You want to know where it's not? In the sewage. Okay? You can't plant it in the sewer. Do you want to know what that will never do? You might get a little bit of a start. Heck, you might even get a branch. But you want to know what you'll never see? A single apple produced. Go ahead, Steve. Go to your favorite. I do. John 15. Tis. John 15, 1 through 8. We're not gonna go in through a whole deep dive here of this scripture, but there's some key points. I am the true vine and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. Pause. Go back to what I just said. But I am an apple seed. I am planted in this ground because I think it's good for me. But the problem is, what is not happening? I am not producing said apple. What did that scripture just say? How did Jesus feel about that fig tree that was, you know, so really good at producing fruit? Why did he curse it? Because it didn't produce figs. Was it a fig tree? Was it planted? Was it alive? Was it doing things? So what was the problem? Was the seed the problem? The source of what it was in was not enough to get it to produce the figs. Continuing on. He takes away in every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because the word which I have spoken to you, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. We are talking about a source problem. Can you see it? I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. How many times did he address the whole part of abide in this group? Did you guys catch it? A lot, right? More than once, for sure. More than twice so far have I counted, right? For without me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, that's like four, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this, my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. So, you will be my disciples. All of this, to get to the point of what's the fruit? What is the fruit? I want to bring you back to the first verse. Can you go back to the first verse? Because this is really important, church. It's really, 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 really important. Because so many people get caught up and they think that this is a problem. They think that this is wrong. That I, as a pastor, am looking at this in your life. Care for a banana? Here you go. I wasn't joking. I'm seriously going to give it to you if you wanted a fruit. But I am looking for this. Why am I looking for fruit? What does the very first verse say? Who's the vine dresser? The Father. God is the vine dresser. Jesus is the vine. Jesus is the source. God is the vine dresser. What does the vine dresser do? He prunes, which means he's looking for what? Because if the branch doesn't produce fruit, what does the vine dresser do? Cuts it off, throws it aside to be what? Oh, everybody likes reading that part, right? But here's the good news, church. If you are producing, he prunes you. Well, I don't really want to be pruned either. But you don't get to choose that. Who is the one who is observing the vine? The Father is. The Father is looking for, because he needs to see it in order to know, that's the branch I need to prune. So that you can do what? Produce more fruit. If God is interested in this, I want to be interested in what God's interested in. Why would I want that? Well, because I like fruit. Don't you? What is fruit good for? Is it just good for me? It's good for you, and it's good for everyone you come in contact with. So if we go through this scripture and abide in me is not written once, not twice, not three times, not four times, not five times, but six times that I counted, that might be off. There's a source problem in Christendom. Because we're not producing fruit, it isn't because the seed was bad, and it wasn't because the intent that God had was bad, and it wasn't because the plan was bad, it's because the abide problem. Right? Seven times. Imagine that. Seven is the number of fullness of Christ. If we are not abiding in Him, and our source problem is wrong, okay? If that's the issue, what's the product? The measure of how we can determine whether or not your source is correct is what? It's the fruit. If the same thing God's looking for in you, I am looking for, this determines whether or not the source is correct. Well, that seems a little rough. What is fruit? Besides the bananas I have in my hand. Oh boy, we're getting really deep here. Don't go that deep, people. Greek. Karpos. Karpos. Greek. Karpos. That which originates or comes from something, an effect, results. I'm going to say it again. This is what it means. This is what fruit is. That which originates or comes from something, an effect, results. Simply put, fruit is the result of acts, not the acts themselves. So what does this mean, church? That means you can tell me all about the stuff you're going to do that's going to produce fruit. That's not the fruit. The fruit is the result of the action. If you tell me about a bunch of stuff you're doing and you still have none of this, is the act the problem? No. It's the source. Because the source is giving you acts that will lead you to producing no fruit. Go back to what I said about the knowledge of the fruit from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, right? It gives you access to things now being all what? Permissible. Everything now is under the determination that it's good because I'm the standard of bearing good. Well, what does that mean? Well, that means, simply put, here's what we do. Remember I said practicality? Here's your practical dose today. You are going to think this is a good idea. And in all regards, it probably is a good idea. It might even have good intentions. It might even have God-like intentions. But if the source of that idea is not Jesus himself, the end result will produce how much fruit? And you want to know how I can tell it's not a good idea at the end of it all? Is because it didn't produce fruit. So here's a really good question, church. Do you want to actually go around trying out a bunch of good ideas in hopes that you maybe find one that produces fruit eventually? Or would you rather just make sure you're connected to the source to make sure the guarantee is always you will produce fruit? Because this is what has been causing so much problems in the church. We have a bunch of people who come up with great ideas, thinking they have the greatest new awesome invention idea of the century, only to find out it produces nothing at the end. And what is the one currency in this world we will never get back? Time. So what do you think Satan's interested in? Having Christians come up with a bunch of great ideas that produce zero fruit, but waste all the time that they had to do something good and practical that would produce fruit, only to have him come up empty-handed at the end. Because guess what? Who's the vine dresser? What's he interested in? And what happens if you don't produce it? Oh, that doesn't sound like a plan that God would really enjoy now, do you think? Sounds like something the devil wants to do. This is why James famously notes that faith and works together are what produces fruit, not just the works themselves. You need Jesus as the source behind the work. Faith is not just some superfluous term. Faith is Jesus. You can't have faith without Jesus. And your faith is in Jesus. So all of it comes together. So here's the big question. Why then do we sell God all of the changes that Christ has produced in us by what we do or are doing all of the time? We try to sell God that I'm making all of these great and wonderful changes for you, God, all to find out at the end you produced how much fruit? You can't sell God your bill of goods on all your ideologies and all your suppositions of things that you think are great and grand and grandiose, because God does not care. I said that, and I can back it up with scripture. I just did. Because God is very serious about what you produce, and what you produce must be what? Period. Period. We believe that fruit is what we are doing. We believe it's the action. And this could be illustrated by saying that your earnings for the hours you work this week, many people would love this. Put your hands up in the air. The earnings that you get for the hours that you worked all week are the hours that you worked. That's it. Your reward is that you worked. Thank you. Thank you for all the work you did, all those hours you worked. There you go. You don't even get a thumbs up. You just get the reward of knowing you did that. That's it. Everybody's okay with that? No? Not okay? Oh, I'm glad. I'm pretty sure that people would like to have compensation, right? Don't you think God would? After all, God has provided his son as the source and as the upfront investment into each and every one of our lives. The expectation is that we get grafted in, because outside of Jesus, what's the return on investment? How good is a branch apart from the vine going to produce fruit? Right? Doesn't produce anything, right? Wasn't producing anything prior. So getting grafted in seems like a good plan that God came up with to make sure that he gets good ROI, right? What's ROI, by the way? Return on investment, right? Okay. So once we get grafted in, the expectation God has, because we're dealing with the expectation, right? It's not about what I expect, it's about what he expects, is that he would get an ROI, which is fruit. But what God gets instead is a bunch of plots, plans, ideas, activities, things that we think are really great, that this is going to work this time, just you watch, God, I'm going to show you. Wait until you see all this lovely fruit I'm going to give you. Some of us even have this wonderful idea that, oh, I'm going to get all this fruit. Just you wait, God. I'm just going to come and take it from this branch over here. And I'm going to get the tape. Because after all, I need to make sure I'm producing fruit. Heck with you. The basic simplicity of it is that all God cares about is that through this lovely branch that he picked to be grafted in to his son produces fruit. That's it. And you might go, well, how much? Doesn't say. Well, that seems awkward, doesn't it? Maybe we should get the idea of how much fruit I'm producing out of my mind and just start focusing on one. How about we just start producing a fruit? Because you want to know what that means? The vine dresser is going to come over and he's going to go, oh, this one. Here, let me make more room so that you produce more fruit. Oh, I want extra zeros at the end of my bank account. Well, so do I. Well, you want to know how you get that? Start producing fruit. Because then the vine dresser is going to come and prune. And you want to know what that does? It makes more room for those zeros. You can't have more zeros if you don't start with one. Seems like an easy lesson, but here's where the other issue is. We think that being grafted in, that's the change. That's the change. Well, you said it's changing sources, right? Well, the source changed when I got grafted in. Did it now? Did it? Romans. Speaking of changes and sources, thought this was profound. Personally, because I didn't write it and I didn't think of it. But God, he knows better. Romans 11, 16 through 18. You there? If not, it's behind me. All right. I actually have to page turn on this? Wow. Okay. For if the first fruit is holy, the lump is also holy. And if the root is holy, then so are the branches. That would then say that the source, once you are grafted in, right, under that logic, if the change was the source by being grafted in, then I've changed my source. Yes? Right? Everybody said, if you see that, right? It's clear as day. If the root is holy, then so are the branches, right? The source is the root, right? Anybody want to jump on this? Oh, come on. I laid such a good bait. Nobody jumped. Oh, man. You guys are getting too smart. Either that or you just read, which is good. And if some of the branches were broken off and you being a wild olive tree were grafted in among them and with them became a partaker of the root and the fatness of the olive tree, do not boast against the branches. But if you do boast, remember that you do not support the root, but the root supports you. Though that seems to clarify it all for me. The root's the source, right? The root's the source. Or is it? Here's where I can go. Hold on a second. The branches, regardless of previous fruit or lack thereof, were grafted in. Yes? Did Jesus look at what you were doing prior to determine whether or not you were worthy to be grafted in? You would never have been worthy. Right? Thank Jesus for his grace and mercy. Amen. That he looked past me. But most of us believe that the instance that we come into this knowledge of Christ and we accept him as Lord and Savior, we're grafted into the vine. Boom. Change. That's it. If that's the case, then why is it that in John, there's talk of branches that were on the vine, right? The source that were what? What happened to those branches that didn't produce fruit? They were broken. Wait, but weren't they on the vine? The source. Same root. Same vine. But these branches that didn't produce fruit, hold on a second. But right here in Romans, it says that the root's holy, then the branches are holy. Is there something wrong here in Scripture? Did we find it? Did we break it? Or are we missing it? In this case, particularly, in order to make room for you, a branch that is natural to the root was broken off because of what? You have to read a little bit further. It's called unbelief. See, this is talking about the Jewish culture versus us Gentiles being able to come in and partake. A Gentile doesn't have all the same rights and freedoms as, you know, our Jewish brethren according to God, right? But God said, oh, but if that's how you think, pluck. Now the Gentile is no different than the Jew. Because you have to believe in the root. Here's where it comes. Being a branch, whether to the holy root of Jesus as we were previously, or aside to the ground to be burnt, is still a branch. What's the problem? The branches that are broken off are still connected to the root, still connected to the source. The problem is not the root. The problem is the branch has this wonderful belief and thought that it can do it without. And I want to point you to the key. The key here is the word partaker. You read it right there in 17, right? We were grafted in among them and with them became a partaker of the root. What it has to do with is consumption. There's the catch. Just because you are grafted in and connected to the source, if you reject what is coming from the source, you will not produce fruit. It doesn't matter that you were grafted in, you still have to actually draw from the source. And this is what we don't do. This is where we get it wrong. We think that we just have to be connected. And it's just going to happen. I attribute this to how many people are going to read the Word of God through osmosis. Eventually it'll seep in. According to the law of osmosis. Is that how it works? You can shake your head at me. I look ridiculous. You can laugh too. We laugh here. It's good. It's good. How many people read the Bible that way though? They don't dig in. They don't investigate. They don't research. They don't try to draw the deeper things of God out that is vital to them in order to do what? Produce fruit. Because you need to actually voluntarily draw that out. Well, wait a minute. That seems a little ridiculous. I don't think that that's what that scripture says. Oh no, I think that's exactly what that scripture says. How can I say that? The measure of our fruit, the products of our acts, is holiness. Right? The root, the lump, all these things are holy, right? So what does that mean? How can I measure whether or not you're producing fruit? It's easy. What's the fruit look like? What's it taste like? It should taste and smell and look. What? Holy. Holy. So what does that mean? Here's the problem. You are drawing from a source that is not holiness. What comes out? I love this one, right? Oh, if I draw from a source that's not holy, that means I'm just going to produce something that's not holy or common, right? Wrong. That's not how it works. Where are you connected? Let's use actual physical and scriptural lines, right? Go back to John. What type of vine was it? Just go back and read. An olive vine. Yes, thank you. And you were originally from a wild olive vine, right? Which means you were already akin to producing what? Olives, right? But your olives suck. But when you're on the vine, right? If you're on the good vine, you're going to produce what? Good olives, right? So we're going to keep this line of thinking. If you are connected to the olive vine that will only give you the nutrients and resources to produce what? Olives. I know. I'm just poke. Produce what? Olives. What kind? Good? Good olives, right? Good olives. So producing good olives. But if you don't draw on the source, you're going to produce what kind of olive? What ones? Sucky olives. Bad olives. Bad olives, right? Bad olives. You're going to produce bad olives. You're going to produce bad olives. You're going to produce bad olives. Is that what everybody says? Gosh, you're all wrong. Because if you can't draw on another source, you're grafted in. So what are you drawing on? Right? You can't draw on another source. There's no other source to draw on. You're grafted in. That means you're connected to the root. The root's connected into the soil. The source is not the problem. The source is that you're trying to draw on something else that doesn't exist. Therefore, you're drawing on nothing, which means you will produce nothing. So you don't produce crappy olives. You just don't produce anything. You don't produce crappy fruit. You don't have fruit. Let me tell you, guess what's worse? No fruit. If you produce bad fruit, maybe it's a worm or something. Maybe a little parasite. But you don't produce any fruit. That's dangerous. We say it all the time. Being a Christian is going to cost you everything you have and everything that you are. This is literally what it means. Because the cost is you can no longer draw on anything you think, imagine, or believe is actually good. Because your sense of good sucks. You are not grafted into the source, however, to be the determiner of what is good. You don't have to do that job anymore. Thank the Lord that you were saved from being the one who had to make that determination, because when you were doing it, you were doing such a great job. Yeah, you laughed at that one, right? Because you know, that's not true. No, we didn't do a good job. That's why we came to Jesus, because when we did it, we messed it all up. But now we are in the new source. We have a new and very trusted source. Amen. Thank the Lord that I can rely on. So why don't you? Because the true difference between those who will produce fruit and those who don't has everything to do with trusting the source. What does it look like? Holiness? Well, I'll tell you. It will come out of you. What does holiness look like when it comes out of somebody? Does it look like swearing like a sailor? Does it look like cursing? And I don't mean cursing like swearing. I mean cursing as in saying ill about people. Hate. Anger. Wrath. Malice. Those holy? No. It affects others. Imagine that. And get this. Regardless of whether anybody here sees it, holiness is always observed by the vine dresser. Because that's what he's looking for. He's intimately interested in whether or not you are producing holiness. The change of our source is observed as holiness is made manifest. I will say it again. The change of your source is observed as holiness made manifest. This means that you will be seeing me going, you're doing a good job producing fruit when I see what come out of you. Holiness. If I don't see holiness coming out of you, I'm concerned, because that means you're not producing fruit. It's that simple. And that might seem like a stark reality, but here's the last little fling that I could throw out there. Can you fake it?
No.
Keep trying. You're only fooling yourself, because nobody's buying what you're selling. Again, hard to buy fruit that isn't there. Regardless of your source, produced fruit is better than no fruit. However, once our source changed to Christ, no fruit is no longer acceptable. Again, go back to what I said about God expecting a return. And again, if you need scriptural reference, note the fig tree. How good did that come out? Indeed, fruit is expected to be produced, but our attempts to try and produce fruit, our old ways of doing it, while connected to the source of Christ, is still going to produce no fruit. The manifestation of change has not happened. We must become manifestations of Jesus in all we do to truly produce fruit. That's why becoming a Christian, the whole term of Christian is what? Little Christ. That means you should look like him, act like him, talk like him, be like him. Everything about our existence should be who? Christ. And in that, the fruit, the product, can only be what? Holiness. Because you can't do anything else outside of him. There is no possibility or room for anything but holiness in Christ. That's it. So, real easy lesson of the day. Determinative. Do your own personal self-evaluation. Okay? That's how you do it. Is what I am about to do holy? And then ask the Lord. And then choose wisely. Do you still have the choice? Do you not? Did he remove your free will? No. But is there a consequence if you choose poorly? Can you be grafted back in? How long do you want to continue to play the game, though, before you end up being put in the pile that gets scooped up and sent to the furnace? Because that is still also true. And that is a reality. And I think too many Christians continue to play the song and dance, getting pulled off the tree, grafted back in, pulled off the tree, grafted back in. One of these days, you're going to get yanked off, and you're going to be in the pile to get scooped up. Can burned branches be grafted back in? Do you want to really play that game? I mean, it's still your choice. I, for one, would hope that instead we take seriously that we're drawing from the source of Jesus to actually produce holiness in our lives. And we do our darndest to make sure that it isn't just hidden, but it's observed. Amen? Amen. Lord, it's your word. Father, I pray, God, that in each and every one of us, God, we would receive you as the source, and that we would draw upon you more and more and more to change every aspect of what we think, feel, believe, and that, Lord, we would become branches that produce holiness in fruit. That, God, we would be observed in a way that you would be so overwhelmed by the fruit we produce that you would prune us, God, so that we can produce even more fruit. That we would become a blessing of holiness to each and every one that we come by. I pray, Lord, that this would continue to manifest in each and every one of us in such a mighty way, God, that not only would we be overwhelmed and blown away at how great and wondrous you are, but every single person we come in contact with would as well. Let this be a part of our living testimony, God, that would go and accomplish your good and perfect will through us, bearing holiness. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen. God is good.